Proverbs 1:33, the last verse here in Proverbs. It says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." So this is, we're finally down to the end after, I think it's 15 studies on Proverbs chapter 1. I am going to try to move through this book a little more quickly in the future. I can read lips. She said, sure. I really am. It's hard for me because I have, well, you know, because I've written the books on the first two chapters or two and a half. And so I'm reading back through that stuff. And I've got so much stuff in there, and it's just hard to cut things out. Like, well, I don't want to not say, oh, that's a good point. I don't want to, you know. When I finally get to the actual Proverbs themselves, then I'm going to, well, even before that, I'm going to try to start moving along a little faster. I would like to get through this thing before I'm, you know, in the grave or something. Okay, so verse 33. "But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." So here the Lord concludes his rebuke and his warning of the simple who would not hear the word with an encouragement to those who will. See, the Lord finally, now he's done talking about the people that wouldn't listen to him anymore and the people that are, have been judged and in trouble. And now he kind of gives us some reassurance here. You people that have read this and are not following in the path of these types here, here's what you have waiting for you: dwelling safely and being quiet from fear of evil. So the last words here are not addressed to the prating fools that fell, but to the wise in heart that receive commandments. Proverbs 10 and verse 8. And you'll see why I worded it that way as we read this verse. Proverbs 10 and verse 8. It says, "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." And this sums up the Proverbs chapter 1, prating fools. You know, they wouldn't listen, they wouldn't hearken, and so they fell. But the wise that receive the commandments, peace and safety are awaiting them. You see, the wise are going to look and see the judgment of the fools, and they're going to take wisdom from that. And they don't have to actually fall themselves and go through what the fools went through to learn from it. Proverbs 19 and verse 25. "Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge." And then Proverbs 21 and verse 11 says, "When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge." So there's probably, I guess, three kinds of people. There are wise people that learn from other people's mistakes. And then there are people that are maybe not quite so wise, but are still wise, that learn from their own mistakes. And then there's just dummies that don't learn from their own or anybody else's for that matter, and they just continually repeat the same stuff. He says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely." So safety is one of the most cherished human needs, if you think about it. And I think we probably don't think about safety all that much because we live in a pretty safe place. You know, pretty safe country, pretty safe community here. And honestly, safety is not on my mind all that often. But I'm sure there are plenty of people in this world that safety, I mean, like my wife.
Yeah, that's why I lock the doors.
Yeah, because she grew up in a place that wasn't as safe. And it wasn't safe. And
even at Walmart, I'm like, I just held onto my bag tightly. Because mm-hmm. in the Philippines, even when you're in a shopping mall, someone could grab it.
Yeah.
Run.
Yep. Yeah, she was actually accosted by some teenage boys a few years ago in the Philippines on her way to work.
20 of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think so.
Yeah, they stole stuff from her.
Like an ice pick instead of a knife. Is that right? Ice pick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So when you grow up in a place like that, you're more wary of things. When I was there, I wasn't afraid of anything, but maybe I should have been. But she was all concerned because I was taking my phone out and taking pictures and all that. And I was, I was American, and she's like, "Oh, put your phone away, don't take it out." I'm like, "Oh, don't worry about it." So anyway. But the thing is, with an unsafe place or a situation, it breeds fear, which is tormenting. 1 John 4 and verse 18. The verse tells us that perfect love casteth out fear. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And everybody knows that. If you're afraid, it's very tormenting. You can imagine if every night in your house you were just worrying if tonight's going to be the night that somebody breaks in and tries to harm me or rob me or something like that, or you're afraid that a tornado is going to blow over your house, or if you live in a foreign country, you're afraid that a drone's going to blow you up or something. I mean, that would not be a fun place to be. Safely is defined as without harm or injury occasioned or received. So when the Lord says that whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, he shall dwell without harm or injury. So he doesn't have to be concerned about that. And I would say that the most valuable and sought-after commodity of safety would not be by purchasing, it would not be acquired by purchasing a gun or getting a home security system or something like that, but simply by listening to God's words, by hearkening unto wisdom's cry. And that's where we can be guaranteed safety. Because a lot of that other stuff, I think it's good to make preparation. But sometimes if you make too much preparation and you end up relying on that stuff, that actually feeds into fear. It's weird, but you know, people that have their door, all their doors reinforced, and they check their locks at night before they go to bed, and they've got security cameras all over the place and they're monitoring, and no matter where they are in their house, they can see these, you know, the cameras on the outside. That probably doesn't breed stability and security. It breeds fear and insecurity. So the best thing to do is just to pay attention to what God says and make reasonable provision. If a Christian struggles with fear and feelings of insecurity, the antidote to that torment is, as it says in Proverbs 3:21 through 26, to keep sound wisdom and discretion by reading God's word and by trusting in him and allowing him to take you through this world safely without fear. Proverbs 3:21 through 26. It says, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. This is the Lord's commandments. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. They shall be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. You're not going to be afraid to go to sleep. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. The antidote to fear is faith. At what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee, David said in the Psalms. Now, here's the other side that you want to remember. And that is, the promise of dwelling safely isn't a guarantee that trouble will never come. So it's not like, oh, I read my Bible every day, nothing bad's ever going to happen. That's not the case. As a matter of fact, probably the more you read that Bible, the more trouble you will have. The closer you get to God, the more, in some ways, the more trouble you're going to have. Solomon said, you can turn to John 16:33. But Solomon said that in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So the more you learn, the more God requires of you. You know, he that knew, to whom much is given, much is required, the Lord said. And the man that knows and doesn't do gets beat with many stripes, and the man that doesn't know, he gets beat with few. Anyways, John 16:33. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So you see, at the same time you can have peace in tribulation, you can have peace while going through tribulation. So it's not all just, you know, a bed of roses for a Christian. Things will get tough, but we can still have peace through it. The Lord will, just like he did for Israel, will bring us through our trouble. It says in Psalm 78:53 that he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. So just like he led them through safely, through the Red Sea, he'll do so to us too. Now the other thing is, in addition to safety, is quietness. Quietness from fear of evil. And this is probably, or at least it should be, one of the deepest desires of a Christian, is to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Look at 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2. This is why I truly don't go looking for trouble at this point in my life. There was a time in my life, a time in my conversion, where I definitely did go looking for trouble. I mean, looking for controversy, looking for debate, and even though I said I didn't, I mean, I probably really was. I mean, I don't go looking for it anymore. Sometimes it comes to you, and you have to deal with it. But usually, I just don't have enough time. If it comes off the internet, and the person is of no, they're just some guy out there, I just don't bother. If it's somebody that I have to deal with it with, if it's a church member, or it's, you know, something like that, anyway, then I have to. But if I don't have to, I don't bother with it. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And I need to do this more often, but when we pray for our president or our leaders and all that, I don't necessarily pray for good government, or I pray that things will be turned around, or that the budget's going to be balanced, or, you know, that whatever, gay marriage is going to be overruled and all. I think we're under God's judgment, and if the Lord would spare us for a time, that'd be great. But the main thing that I would pray with regards to them is that they'll just leave us alone, that I could live a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Because, and I think that's something we all should pray for, because you're in this day and age, your life can be turned upside down in a heartbeat. Just one government bureaucrat somehow gets a hold of your name about anything. You dug a ditch out here or something and destroyed a wetland or something. And literally, I'm serious. I mean, your entire life can be ruined.
And Bundy's.
Yeah, right. It is a good thing to pray that we would live a quiet and peaceable life, that they will just leave us alone and we can fly under the radar. Quiet is defined as free from disturbance, molestation, or annoyance, not interfered or meddled with, left in peace, of a state, condition, procedure, etc. It's in the phrase, anything for a quiet life. Now, I don't know about you, but I just reading that definition makes me feel good. It just kind of brings a calmness over me just reading the definition. And it's funny, I'm sure to little kids, just that idea, free from disturbance or annoyance or not interfered, left in peace and all that, that would be no consolation to them whatsoever. That is boring, right? But not to adults, or at least it shouldn't be. If your idea of a good life is a life of disturbance and fighting all the time, that you get some problems. So the one simple step necessary for reaching this goal of a quiet life, free from disturbance and full of peace, is the same that ensured safe dwelling, and that is hearkening unto wisdom. We should be reading the scriptures and studying to be quiet. So this is something that we actually have to learn. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11. If you have to study to do something, right? I mean, you got to study to learn how to do math or to do science or to learn how to do some skill or trade or something like that. Well, that tells me that if you had to study to be quiet, it's something that doesn't come naturally, and it's something you got to put effort into. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11. Paul here exhorts this church, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, right? Good old mind your own business. There's this guy out there on Route 10. I don't know if you probably don't go that way. You go that way towards Richmond. You know those crazy people out there, they got the fence that go around their yard and all this junk in their yard, but they're not just pigs, because they move the junk around And it's the weirdest thing.
They have all these signs.
All these signs. And the other day they had this great big sign. And I don't know, maybe they're trying to signal to people about themselves or something. But great big sign that says, mind your business. I mean, this thing's like 15 feet long or something. And I don't know if they're telling passerbys to mind their business or telling the government to mind their... I don't know what they're doing. But anyway, it's just constant. There's something different. They got a big American flag hanging up. They used to have Shrek, some Shrek poster hanging up on their house. Just bizarre.
You seen those people?
I've seen them outside mowing the grass.
I saw them today.
They look a little different.
A lot.
Yeah. Anyway, where was I going with that? Mind your own business. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, the Bible teaches us what those nice folks were trying to teach us with their billboard in their yard. To do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. So we are to study to be quiet. So we got to work on it. I know people in my life that just have a very tumultuous life, and it just wouldn't be for me. I don't like that kind of stuff. And there's just always something. There's always some controversy, some of which is brought upon themselves, some of which it just seems like for whatever reason, I don't know if they just attract it or just stuff happens. Like he's driving through the parking lot and some dude backs into him and tears his entire rear bumper off. And then the guy supposedly didn't have his insurance card with him and he got his information and the guy offered to fix it himself and blah, blah, blah. And then he goes and gets the car looked at, and it turns out that there was way more damage than it looked like, and there was like $10,000 worth of damage on this car, and then he can't get a hold of the guy, of course. So anyway, it's just stuff like this, where some of the stuff's clearly brought upon yourself, and then there's other stuff where you're just driving along and crash, some guy runs into you. But it just seems like stuff like that happens all the time. Certain people are just magnets for it. That's not for me, though. Quiet and peaceable life as much as possible. And when we learn how to live righteously by keeping God's commandments, that will result in a quiet, in peace and quietness. Isaiah 32, verses 17 through 18. This verse is another one that just brings a calming effect over me. Isaiah 32:17-18 says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." So when we work righteousness, and we keep God's commandments, and do what he says, the effect of that ends up being peace, and quietness, and assurance. Let me give you one more. Turn to Job 34 and verse 29. If we do this, then we can be assured that it's not going to be easily, our quiet life's not going to be easily overthrown because the Lord's going to preserve it. Job 34 and verse 29 says, "When he giveth quietness, who can make trouble? And when he hideth his face, who then can behold him, whether it be done against a nation or against a man only?" So whether it's a nation or a man, when God gives quietness, nobody's going to make trouble. And God gives quietness to people who study to be quiet and to be righteous and to keep his commandments and to hearken to the things that he said and to turn when God tells them to turn, just like we've been reading there in Proverbs chapter 1. And that finishes up Proverbs chapter 1. So next time, Lord willing, we will start into Proverbs chapter 2.